Welcome beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy. Like countless others, Reiki found me when I wasn't even looking, and then it ignited a whole new world of questions. This podcast explores topics of interest for the spiritually curious. Join me for discussions and special guests on subjects such as past lives, crystal healing, spiritual awakening, ascension, energy healing, and more, all to assist and inspire you along your unique soul's journey. This episode is sponsored by Mainstream Reiki, offering live and online Reiki classes and a membership community to help Reiki practitioners succeed and grow in their practice. Find out more at mainstreamreiki.com. Welcome to Beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm Andrea, and today we get the opportunity to visit with Jane Asher. Jane has a rich past in media and music, and following the loss of her mother, she went through unspeakable grief. Through that process, she learned timeless life lessons encompassing forgiveness, grief, grace, gratitude, and a boundless love encompassing all. Jane co-authored a book with a psychic medium whose interpretations beautifully depict a mother-daughter bond that has grown stronger through death. The Next Room is not only Jane's book, but has become a fascinating podcast as well. Jane, I am just over the moon that we get to talk about all that you have experienced, your rich process that you went through. And I just know our listeners, as well as myself, will have takeaways today that we'll reflect upon, and those things will enrich our own lives. I am confident in that. So thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure's all mine. I'm always so curious when someone reaches out and asks me to come on their show, because I've been doing this for so long, and I really do love it. I mean, I love to interview people, but I really love to share my story with other podcasters. And so I appreciate being here today.
Yes. So let's get started, right? So we mentioned you have a long and deep history, love of music, you've been in media, you're very experienced in that realm. But can you tell us this foray, this venture, this exploration into death? How did it all start? Who were you before your mother passed away? And if you could tell us a little bit about that, get us going a bit.
Boy. I was a rock and roll chick, born and raised in Michigan, went to broadcasting school. All I wanted to do was play music on the radio. And shortly after I graduated from broadcasting school in Detroit, I got my first radio gig, and I never looked back. I mean, I've just had a very charmed, interesting, fun ride. You know, I've been on Willie Nelson's bus. I've been thanked by Billy Idol. I was backstage with Paula Abdul. I took Lenny Kravitz on his first tour with Let Love Rule. It's just been a really super fun career. But, you know, as you gently age, things happen in your life. And so through the course of doing rock and roll, and I was at like the top at one point, what I would consider the top, doing a morning show in a major market in San Diego. Radio has changed and things have pivoted because everything is online now. So a lot of listeners aren't doing the terrestrial radio anymore. It got diminished. And I feel like I was like, what am I doing? Like I was in my 40s. I was working at a radio station here and I'm throwing down Pink songs, right? And I'm like, you're 40 and you're playing Pink on the radio. And I love Pink, don't get me wrong, but it just felt a little empty. At the same time, my mother was going through a situation. She was 83. She needed to have a valve replaced in her heart. She is my best friend, still is. And so I was going back and forth to Michigan from California just to be with her, or to be around her, or to spend as much time as possible prior to the surgery. She came through the surgery really well, and then she had some complications, and I went back there and was there the entire time she was in recovery. Then I finally had to come home. I had to get back to work. I have two kids. They were in high school. she crossed. She crossed while I was back here in San Diego. And I think devastated doesn't even scratch the surface. So to answer your question, that is how my deep dive into death and becoming comfortable with it and embracing grief like a not so comfortable old sweater started me on this journey to pivot from my rock and roll life into now what I love is this life and the afterlife. So that's where I am today.
Wow, that is just fascinating, really. And so life and the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Life goes on.
Yeah, I love how you said that. Take us a little bit, I guess, further in the story, because the book is all about the next room. And so your mother crosses, you're devastated, and then what happens?
You know, shortly after she crossed, just interesting things were happening. I was so deep in my grief, I didn't even know that that's what grief felt like. Like I had lost both my grandmothers. One held me and the other was, you know, long gone before I was even born. My grandfathers I knew, but one crossed when I was like five-ish and one when I was 12. And then my Aunt Mabel, of course, when I was 13. But I didn't know what grief was. I really didn't know. And I'm like, okay, could not eat, couldn't think straight, don't remember the first year after she left. But things started happening. You know, I went to her final resting place and I'm sobbing and I'm watering the flowers at her tombstone. And all of a sudden I look down and there's this little polished pink stone that I found. And it was all gravel. And it was like it's a little country cemetery in northern Michigan. And I found it and I picked it up and I just felt such a rush. And I heard her so clearly say to me, "Don't look down. That's not where I am. I am here. I am everywhere." I just got like full, you know, my pastor would call it the Holy Spirit tingle, where you just get head to toe tinglies. So that started happening. And then other things just started coming in one after another. So through the process prior to her passing away, I was writing everything down. I loved to write. I always thought, oh, I'm going to write a book someday. And I would tell people, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. Well, I didn't know how to write a book. I wasn't writing a book. I was just doing short stories and writing notes and cramming things in journals. And I have volumes of journals that my kids will enjoy someday when I'm in the next room. I wrote her entire thing in this little pink notebook. And then after she crossed, I was like, you know, I need to figure out how to write this book. And I want her involved, but I don't know quite how to do that. So that happened. So I just started writing in journals. I wasn't writing in a document or anything. And so the idea came up that I would write this book and I wanted to write it with her, but I didn't know how to do that. So when she crossed, she was 83, married to my dad for 62 years.
Wow.
They were like the most dynamic, beautiful couple ever. Just amazing. Like they danced, they played gin together, they traveled, they laughed, they had six kids, they had 13 grandkids. I mean, they were just such a team, Don and Betty. So my dad was really, really lost. And so he came out, spent a month here in San Diego. And one morning he came out of his bedroom and he said, "Janie, I need to talk to your friend." And I said, "Dad, you're going to have to be a lot more specific. I have a lot of friends." And he goes, you know, that one that does seances. And I said, "Oh, you want to speak to Pam Osley, my friend in Santa Barbara?" I said, "You know, Dad, she does that for a living. She's a psychic medium." And I said, "She's expensive." And he goes, "Well, I'd like to talk to her." And I said, "Well, let me see if she'll do a favor. Let me see if she'll speak to you." And I'm thinking to myself at the time, why does my dad want to talk to her? Didn't put two and two together at all. So I called her and I said, "Pam, my 84-year-old dad grieving would love to have a conversation with you." And she said, "Absolutely, set it up." So the next day, I set him up with my landline outside And I said, Pam, this is my dad, Don Asher. Dad, this is my friend Pam. I'll leave you two alone. I went back in the house to prep dinner and left him out there. And I kept peeking around the corner. He was big sun worshiper and he was sitting out in the sun with his water and his phone. And he was going on and on. And after almost close to an hour, I finally went out there and I was feeling kind of a little guilty, you know, that I stuck my friend on this with my 84-year-old grieving dad, not knowing where it was going. And I come out and here's my big bull of a dad sitting there with tears streaming down his cheeks. And he was like, she was here. And I'm like, what? And I sat down next to him. I said, you know, I'm still clueless. You know, you would think Jane is plugged in as I thought I was. I'm like, who? What are you talking about? And he said, your mother was here. He goes, come on. She recorded us. We got to go to your studio and listen. And my dad, 84, two knee replacements, he did not walk fast. He bolted across my living room like he was running a 50-yard dash, comes out to the studio. I plopped him right down in this chair. I pulled up a little stool next to him. And sure enough, Pam had sent the very first recording of her channeling my mother to give my dad comfort. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying don't go to a therapist or don't talk to your pastor if you're grieving, but the comfort that she brought my dad in that half hour, 40 minute conversation was remarkable. He knew that my mother was just beyond the veil in the next room waiting for him, that nothing had changed, that she still loved him and appreciated him. She said things that only the two of them would know so that he would know it wasn't full of baloney. It was incredible. That opened up the floodgates. My dad really got this entire thing started. So she crossed in 2010. That would have been 2011, February of 2011. Big Don, I keep pointing at his picture. I've got a picture of them in Florida on the wall. He opened it up. He started this conversation with Pam. So that's how I got to actually going, all right, I'm going to write a book.
And when you were at the cemetery and you found the little stone and you heard your mother, were you intuitive before? Had you ever had an experience like that, or was that new to you?
You know, that's a good question. I would consider myself a spiritual seeker, or was. I am now a spiritual practicer. There's a big difference. I have stopped seeking because it just comes now. So I don't have to go look. It just shows up. And now I practice what I've learned and what I continue to learn every single day of my life. Yes, I was actively seeking. I was a big fan of Abraham Hicks. I was a big fan of Arnold Patton. I loved Rumi. I mean, you name it. I was always, you know, very open. And plus, Pam had been my friend in Santa Barbara. And I knew that she was a very tuned in psychic, but I didn't realize that she was a medium, because there is a difference. You can be psychic, you can be a medium, and you can be a psychic medium. She didn't really promote the medium side of her business, because that does have a tendency to maybe bring out some things that she just wanted to kind of keep quiet. So I did not realize that. And so, yes, I was very intuitive and could hear her and felt her and knew she was with me and had vivid dreams and even visitations. So, yes, to answer your question.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned how that helped your dad, how moved he was and all of that. And how was it for you after the intense grief that you were going through and you didn't realize the mediumship component of that talk that was going to happen? So to hear that exchange, what did that do for you?
Boy, Andrea, it was like a veil was lifted. It was like a door opened into a greater understanding. Because, you know, I was raised, we went to church every Sunday, second pew to the right, all eight Ashers in a row. So it was very traditional, but very loving. My folks were super open and appreciated the growth that I had once I moved out of Michigan and came to California and maybe had some wackadoodle ideas. They were very cool about it. But when that occurred, I felt such a peace. I just was like, ah, everything I ever had thought or envisioned or dreamed about or wanted for what comes next in this beautiful journey that we're on kind of all started making sense. It was like this huge puzzle that was scattered all over, and all the pieces started like sliding into place without even having to work at it. I was like, oh. And it was great. And she was really grateful and appreciated me and brought it up through Pam for taking such good care of him. He was ready to go after she left. We were wondering if he was going to, in his words, what he would say when people die. He said, they check out. We thought he was going to check out because he was so despondent. But no, he didn't. He gave us a lot of extra life, which is really good.
You know, something that comes to my mind is, that's so common, right? When someone close passes, those closest often pass soon after. So that's an interesting point that you brought up, and that it changed that for him. What did your mother, I'm curious, what did she convey about when, I know we can't speak for all people who cross, but what did she say about that in particular, about her wishes for your dad?
Oh, my mother had a phrase when she was like just a powerhouse, right? I mean, this woman could prepare a meal and the perfect Bloody Mary and hold a baby in one arm. She could do it all. And so she would always say, get cracking. And so she basically told Dad to get cracking. She said, stop sitting around and acting like an old man. You have so much life to live. You're going to be on that side for quite a while. You will see me again. So in the meantime, stop your moping, get busy living or get busy dying. You know, you have these children, you have grandchildren, you have great-grandchildren. What are you doing sitting around? I don't like to see you sitting around, Donald. She had a funny finger. She had a little arthritis in this finger, and she would point, but it would always go to this person. So my brother and I always had a joke that she was actually pointing at him, or, you know. And so she was doing the crooked finger at him, like, how dare you waste this precious life? And also when she told him he would be around for a long time, all of a sudden he was like, the shoulders were straight. She told him to sit up. She said, put your shoulders back, get to church, get out, engage with your family. I mean, she busted his chops, basically, because he was completely like, he would say, I'm just marking time till I can be with her. And we were like, thanks a lot, big guy. What are we, chopped liver?
Right.
Come on. And all of us would get so PO'd at him when he would act like that. And so when she came through and gave him the business, it was like, finally. Even when she had, this is so cute, my dad had a nickname for her, and it was Sarge, because my mother ran our family like a sergeant would, you know, run his platoon. And so during the reading, this is one of those things, during the reading, Pam had never met my mom or dad. They didn't even have a computer. There was no way to Google them. They had no email. They had no smartphones, whatever. So they were just, you couldn't find out any information about them. So Pam said, Don, this is really funny. She's running around, marching around. She's acting like a sergeant. And my dad started laughing, and he was like, oh my gosh, that's what I called her, Sarge.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so once he heard the message that he was indeed going to be around for a long time, he's like, oh, well, I can either sit here in my lazy boy in front of the idiot box and die slowly and ugly and be here for the next 8 years and have people go, oh, you're no fun, or I can get busy. And he got busy. He flew to San Diego for my daughter's graduation from high school. Then he came back 2 years later for Thomas's, my son. He went to Florida. I partied with him on his 91st birthday in Florida, and he died 45 days later, quietly in his chair, just checked out. I'm done. I need to go see her. And he actually thought he was dreaming of her, but she was actually calling him home. So, yeah, it was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really am finding myself comparing and contrasting. Because what you had outlined was he was ready to just waste away and not engage with his family or anything. And then he completely pivoted and invested in the relationships yes. of his family. And the thing that really has my attention is to attend their graduations, to be there and to choose to travel to see them and go out of his way to do these things. That is such a gift that he chose to give them. And they got to make memories. And so the family members get to carry that.
Absolutely.
And there's no replacement for that. But yet,
no.
Look at the free will, because he could have, like you said, sat in his lazy boy and never connected with his family and just wasted away. We all have that choice. We
right.
all have that choice. So 8 years, that's how long?
Just shy of 8 years. Yeah, she crossed at 83. He left at 91. And it was just remarkable what he gave us. Such a gift. I was, as a matter of fact, when I was coming out in the studio, because I bring in all of them that have gone before me, I'm looking at all their pictures. But I just thanked him before we walked in here because I'm getting emotional. But he, what a good dude. It was great. It was great fun. Even though we didn't have her to play with, we got to know him better, you know, because she was so dynamic and he was dynamic, but they were very different personalities. It was really fun. He really did give us a gift. He did. He hung in there and he was in great health. I mean, he was still going to the gym. He was still going to church and taking communion. He was still listening to Dixieland music. He was still sunning his buns on the beach. He was moving a lot slower. And we knew he was getting close because he was, you know, having a couple things were happening here and there. He was still driving and he did not want to give up his license. And we all collectively knew that that was something that was going to have to happen. But, you know, he was so stubborn. He was like, I'll show them. I'll just check out and then they can't take my license. And that's exactly what he did. He died with his driver's license. You know, he didn't draw, you know, he just checked out quietly. He just didn't want that next phase at all. He refused to go to the hospital the day before. Two of my sisters were in Florida and said, you need to go to the hospital. He said, I'm not going to the you know what hospital. And I talked to him and I said, I trust you. You know, you're a smart man. And I think you know what you're doing. And I trust you and I honor you. And I don't think you have to go to the hospital either. I just want you to know I love you. And he died that night.
Wow.
Talked to all of us before he checked out.
Yeah.
So it was great. How beautiful of a death.
Yeah.
How beautiful of a death can you envision?
Yes.
Than sitting in your chair and not even, I mean, that's no pain. Just like, okay, I'm going to go over there now.
Yeah. Yeah. Another decision he made.
Yes, absolutely. Which, you know, he made decisions like that his whole life. Very strong man.
Yeah. So, okay, let's rewind a little bit. So there's that first conversation on the phone, the recording. It changes both of you forever. And then what happened? I mean, did you race to call your friend back for session two? I mean, whoo.
You know, I didn't because I don't like to abuse her gifts, her talents. And so years ago, I mean, I had one reading with her when I was in my 20s. And then from that point on, I thought, I don't want anyone else to influence my life, psychic medium and or anyone. And so I want to be in my own space. And she became a close friend. And so she helped me empower myself by not doing readings for me. So to answer your question, what happened was my dad loved talking to my mother. He called it calling Betty, calling my mom. And so every year on his birthday, I would gift him an hour-long call with Pam so he could connect with my mom. And it's like, because what do you give a guy that has everything but the love of his life by his side? So I gave him a call with a psychic medium. And she was so lovely. And so every year, she'd record the conversations, and then I was the keeper of them, and he let me listen to them. And he had them, I'd burn them on CD for him, and he would drive to Florida, or my nephew would drive him to Florida every year afterward, and he would listen to them nonstop because, you know, you get messages and stuff. So that was going on, still not thinking that I need to connect with Pam about my mom. She's remarkable. But then we had another loss. My big sister Lynn crossed over from complications to cancer in 2016. I'm home for Lenny's funeral. Really sad. I'm like, oh my God, I lost my two pillars, my mother and my big sister Lynn, who's 12 years older than me. What am I going to do? So I go through the grief of Lynn. And as I was flying home on an airplane from her funeral, I always have something to write on. I have journals. I have pads of paper. For some reason, I didn't have any paper with me. Or I had a pen, or I borrowed a pen, I think. All I had was, it was back in the day when you would print up your boarding pass. I started like communicating with Lynn, like in my mind, obviously, not out loud, because I'm crying. I got a picture of her. I'm like, I'm coming home from her funeral. I'm drinking wine on the plane. I'm like, ugh. I started writing this letter, like, Dear Lynn, this letter to my big sister. And in the letter, I proposed the question, how do I co-author a book with mother when I'm here and she's on the other side with you now in the next room, or you're on the other side with her now? And it was so weird. It was like this lightning bolt as we're 32,000 feet in the air. It was like, boom. Lynn just said, ask your friend Pam to translate messages from mom so you guys can write the book together. And I'm like, poof. 2016, the plane lands. I'm like freaking out the next morning. I'm like, Pam, 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 Pam. She's like, Jane, take a breath. What is it you need to ask me? And I said, would you or will you consider doing sessions with me where we connect with mom, where I ask her questions about things that I'm curious about that she's going through now that she's on the other side, and then I'll transcribe them and I'll write a book. And Pam said, absolutely, I'll help you. So that's how the book really got going. So I had my dad's sessions. So then I'd have sessions with Pam, and I would say, I really want to know about her crossing personally, what it felt like. And then Pam would tune into my mother and she would get the download, and Pam would say, wow, she's having me feel this. Wow, this is incredible. She goes, I've never felt like this before. And then we would record the sessions. I'd have to come back, listen to them, get out here in my studio and transcribe the messages. The book is in four parts. There's my story growing up, meeting Pam, my mother, me, and Pam. And then the fourth part is the conversation begins with just myself and my mother. Because Pam kept saying, okay, Betty, okay, all right, I'll tell her. And she said, your mother says that you do not need me to hear these messages, that you've been communicating with her since the minute she crossed, that if you will get quiet and listen and tune in, you'll be able to receive everything you need to write your book. So that's kind of where part four came from. So,
wow.
Long-winded to get there, but it was my sister Lynn's death that kind of kicked it into gear.
Wow. So what a ride. I have to imagine. I mean, because at that point when you started doing that with Pam, how long had you known her?
We met when I was 22. I moved to Santa Barbara, fourth radio job. I moved to Santa Barbara, didn't know anyone. And I was doing a morning show on a renowned rock station called K-Tide with my morning show partner, Terry James. And Terry and I were doing this, doing the morning thing. And Terry, very big spiritual seeker, said, I want to have my friend Pam on the radio show. She's a psychic, and we'll connect her with the listeners, and then she can give them information. And I was a complete skeptic. I'm like, what? What is this? You know, this is a bunch of fake hooey. You know, I was just this Michigan kid that didn't have a clue about psychic mediums. And so through that, Pam was amazing on the radio, of course. I was intrigued enough, what I heard of her connecting with our listeners, that I set up a session with her. That's when I went to her house, and I go in Pam's house. The carpeting is white. The walls are white. The cat was white. Everything in her place was white, except she had probably 40 green plants everywhere and white. And I'm like, I had to take my shoes off. I'm like, what's with the white thing? And she's like, well, it helps me to see your aura. And I'm like, aura? What? What's this all about? And so then she explained to me what my aura was and what it meant and why I was here on the planet and where I was going next, which is interesting because she nailed it. I went to a place I had never even lived before, and she called it 6 months in advance. She's the real deal. She's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's how it started with Pam. But I just thought, she's a psychic.
Yeah.
She knows things. She sees things deeper than the next average human being, or she's practiced it, you know, enough to be able to, because I do believe we all probably have that same gift, but some of us are just more open and willing and we want it, you know, we seek it and we practice.
Yeah.
So that's how long.
What a ride. Amazing that you could do this with her the way you're describing. Hello, it's Andrea. And in addition to being your host here at the podcast, I'm the founder of Mainstream Reiki, where bringing Reiki further into the mainstream is my mission. I offer quality Reiki classes of all levels to students attending live from around the world. And I've built a membership community as well to help Reiki people connect with each other through discussions, events, and Reiki practice. So if you're considering learning Reiki, or you already have, I invite you to visit mainstreamreiki.com to discover your next step in your Reiki journey. Thank you. And now, back to the show. Can you share with us some of these things that your mother, I guess, taught you? So her own passing, how did she describe that?
She said it was the most euphoric, beautiful feeling that all of this information that she had probably forgot came back in, and that she just felt light and just completely loved. At first, she felt a little trepidation because she didn't want to leave Dad alone. And so she was holding back at first because she literally made it through her hospital ordeal, like 32 days rehab, the whole thing, to come home, literally to die in her home, in the arms of her best friend. So she dies in their home shortly after she comes back home from the hospital. They think that they're going to ride into the sunset together, and she left. So she felt a little weird about leaving him behind, but she said once she let go, like truly let go, it was a feeling like no other, that it was absolutely this most amazing, beautiful connection. And it was like plugging back into this source that she knew that she had done before, but that she probably had forgotten because of being in the human form. You know, we're like, we get up, we have our coffee, we go to work, we read the newspaper, right? You know, we pay bills. It's like, boom, 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 boom. We're always so busy with just the minutiae of day-to-day life that we rarely just stop and go hug a tree, you know, and just go be. So she just described it, and she had, the feeling was so overwhelming with Pam that Pam was like welling up. She just described it beautifully. There's no fear, absolutely zero pain. There was no black hole. There was no tunnel. It was just pure love, light, and this remembrance, this remembering of everything. And she was reunited with so many individuals that she knew and loved. And then people were there that she had forgotten about, like, oh, and other from ancestors, but immediately knew everyone, like, oh my gosh, I forgot about you from centuries ago, that kind of thing. She said also, too, that there were light beings, which we'll get into in the next room, too, because at the time, it was too weird for me. I'm like, what? I thought it was heaven. It's all humans and maybe some dogs frolicking. But no, it's all beings, all light beings from all different places.
Oh, wow. So you're writing another book?
Yes, we're in the process right now.
Oh, fantastic.
She just started laughing and said, get cracking.
Sarge.
Yeah, Sarge. I had to pivot because I'm writing a book with my best friend, the one I told you about earlier, who's having a stage 4 journey with cancer. And so my entire energy has been into keeping her healthy, whole, and complete, and doing this book with her. So we're going to publish that book probably mid-2024. And, you know, if I do get cracking, maybe the next room too will come out. It'll come out when it comes out.
Right.
Yeah. I have to be open and tuned into her. And there's nothing, I can't manifest it. I can't manufacture it. It just has to flow.
Right. And for our listeners, that's not Pam. We talked before we hit the record button. Because you said your friend, I just wanted to clarify for the audience, yeah, that friend wasn't mentioned in the show. It was before we started recording. So I don't want anybody to think that, you know, we're referring to Pam at all. Pam is well and good.
Pam's great.
What other universal, perhaps, lessons came through that you could share?
Great question. I mean, a great question. I'll try to be as concise as possible. We have nothing to fear. Fear and doubt only locks us into a very small place. We need to expand beyond. We need to know that this is such a beautiful gift, this life human experience. So go enjoy every single moment and be present in whatever it is that is right here in front of you. This moment is all you really have. But also to know, don't have any fear over death, because it's not, and this is her, and this is me, this is our opinion, but it doesn't end. Life literally goes on. It's just not in this sense that we are in now. It's in a whole different arena. And there is no judgment at all. You are not shamed. You are not blamed. You are not judged. There is nothing about what happens in the next realm, in the next room, for you to fear. It is complete love, acceptance, light. You are connecting with the next level. You're going to be reunited with people that you love. If you had any differences with someone, you will clear it all up. If you leave and someone is still here and you had a difference, you'll be there and you'll go, oh, okay, all right. Boy, I wasted some time, didn't I? Being angry. For what? Why? It just doesn't have any substance to stay in a negative state, no matter what is happening. Nothing should mess with your peace of mind. You just need to get there. And this isn't about sticking your head in the sand. This isn't about pretending like, la, 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 I didn't hear that. But we really do have control over what we bring into our day to day, what we ingest, what we hear, what we think, what we feel. We have that control. And so to be mindful of all of that, you know, what is it? How do you want to feel? What people enrich you and lift you up? Conversely, what are the people when you even come in and you get repelled right away? Like, it's okay. Create your loving space and just say, no, I'm good. I don't need to have that in my life. I don't need to hear that negativity. I don't need to. Oh, gossip was a big one. She's like, no, you do not need that. She said, people that need to gossip will go find their gossip tribe You do not need that type of communication in your life. And I'm human. I slip into it all the time. And it's not even, you don't think it's gossip. You just think you're sharing a little tidbit. Bullcrap. It's gossip. So if it is not steeped in love, it's gossip. So that was a couple of them. I got a bookload.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. You mentioned going to church every week, communion, things like this. And so that was a big part of your mom's life. And I'm imagining when she was in body, she, I would imagine, had certain beliefs about what to expect.
Absolutely.
And can you talk a little bit about that? The belief and then the reality.
May I just say something? I have been in broadcasting for over 40 years now, and I've been interviewing people for about that amount of time. You are exemplary. Oh. You are so good at what you do. No, I'm not kidding. That is, wow. So just thank you.
Thank you.
For being open and being able to create that kind of space. And the questions that you're bringing up are really lovely.
Oh, thank you.
That one in particular is great. Okay. This is a woman who was baptized and communed and married in the Lutheran church. My dad, same thing. He was Lutheran. He was a Detroit boy. She was a farm girl from Richmond. They met. They were confirmed, remarkably, on the same day, him in Detroit, her in Richmond, when they were 13 or 14 or whatever. So there was so much symmetry. They marry. They're both Lutheran. They raise all six of us. We go to church at St. John Lutheran Church in Port Sanilac, Michigan. Pastor Maul was a rock star. First, we had Pastor Ankeny. Cool church. We all were baptized, confirmed. I don't know how many people in my family have been married in that church. And it was lovely. It was very nice. She read her prayer book every night that I now am blessed to hold. She was very, I wouldn't call her religious, though. She was like a very spiritually based Lutheran. But she, Bible, Jesus, all of the good stuff that comes with being a Christian. But yet, she and my dad were, man, were they ever open? They had friends that were atheists. They had friends that were Jewish. They had friends that were Methodist, Baptist, non-church goers. They had woo-woo friends. They had buttoned down, you better not do that or it's a sin and you're going to go to hell. Okay. So they ran the gamut and they were just really cool, open people. And so they were always curious by nature. And when their 22-year-old daughter came back from California and was started going, oh my gosh, you won't believe this and this and this. They were, at least they didn't say it to my face. They didn't think I had lost, you know, flip my dome doily, but they were very open. So that's how she was raised. So yes. So now she crosses from this background and who she was, this Betty Asher over here, goes over and she says, it is bigger and more grand than anything that you could ever conceptualize, that the love is so beyond just Christianity. It is not just Christianity. And she said the Bible has many lovely parables and there are wonderful nuggets of wisdom, but to please keep in mind that it's so vast and so grand and so beautiful that it's too big to be able to put in a book, especially just one book that focuses on one religion, that it is all, it is everything. And she was just so enamored with that. She was like, wow, this is really cool. Like she loved the fact that it was so exponential and the growth and how beautiful that she could now see it all. And she said it's perhaps something she actually knew when she was here on this side, but perhaps had forgotten as she's going through being Betty Asher and very Lutheran. So her growth was very enriching. She loves it. She's still loving it. She's learning all the time.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because does she talk about what she does over there?
Yeah, she does. It's not over there, it's here.
Right, right.
I know, it's like we have this thing, that's why it's just the next room. Boy, she is part of a team. She is very involved still with the family and watches over every single one of us and loves us and comforts us if we need it. She's still very involved. She's still mom, but she's had to, or she desires to, go and to learn and be part of a team that are doing some bigger work for the planet, bigger work, not just for this planet, but for other things. She didn't want to say smart. She said she has been gaining wisdom that, and she was always, like, let me say, this woman was a wise wonder when she was here on the planet. So
does she talk to your siblings?
I have one sister that's super plugged in that has very vivid dreams of her, you know, and connects with her through her dreams mostly. My brother at first was really having a hard time, and my mom told me what to tell him to do to feel her. She said, just have him open his hand and I'll gently touch his hand for him. You know, through writing the book, all of my siblings have read it, and it really helped open up the family and the dialogue. So I would say, I don't think they connect with her the way I connect with her, but they connect with her the way that they're comfortable in connecting with her, you know, through memories and thoughts and laughter and sharing her recipes and that. It's just a little, you know, everybody has a different way to plug in.
Right. So has she brought up any conversation about coming back to Earth or reincarnation, you know, generally?
Yes. This is a difficult one because I don't quite understand it. But she has said that she has already incarnated in two different places already. But she's still, and I'm like, oh, your energy splits? And she's like, no, 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 no. No, it's still me as a whole. And I'm still here, but I've already, and I'm like, do I know these individuals? And she's like, no, you do not. And I'm like, okay. And I couldn't handle anymore, to be honest with you. It was too much for this pea brain to wrap its head around. So I'm hoping we'll dive deeper into that in the next realm with her in book two. If I can get out of my own way, because that's her big thing with me. She said, get out of your head. I stop myself a lot because I start being doubting Jane.
Right.
So yes, she has talked about that.
I've spoken to other people. You know, that's not the first time I've heard that, that we can be living in multiple lives. And isn't it amazing? It seems to me like at every turn that it is so much bigger than what we think. You know, like you spoke about her perspective of even as simple as the Christianity, but then it's like it's so much more than that, right? And the love and those other things that you mentioned. And so why would we be limited either, right?
Man, talk about wise. I have a feeling we're going to be good friends. Oh, you have to
awesome.
Come on my show.
Okay.
Now that I've been on yours, I want you on mine. Again, my opinion, because I never try to state fact,
right.
Because this is all just my gentle knowing and the knowledge and the gifts and the wisdom that she's infusing in this body that I am blessed to have. Yes. Why? It's sort of like, I love the Abraham Hicks thing. I get the daily thing every day, but she said, the only reason why we can't grow another limb is because we don't believe we can grow another limb. And some people want to say, they want to be naysayers and you know, that's a bunch of hooey. And that's okay. You got to let everybody has to stay in their own lane. If you want to live your life that it's black and white and that this is it, I just think, what an ego. If you think this is it, what an ego. We're smaller than a speck of sand on the beach. We are just a teeny tiny portion. So yes, I believe like the parallel universe thing, the multi-universe thing. And the great thing that we're finding is here's science, right? And science, and then here's religion, and then you got spirituality, and they're all like boop, ba boop, ba boop, ba boop, ba boop. They're all saying the same thing. There's a great documentary called In the Name of Love. The two documentarians that did the movie were the guys that did the 9/11 too. There are two brothers. And they went around the planet, this one, and they interviewed all the religious leaders of the biggest sects in the world. You know, Judaism and Catholicism and evangelicals and Taoism. And they interviewed all of them, all these leaders. They had to have millions of followers to be considered for this documentary. And in the end, every single one of these religious leaders said the exact thing, only in a different way, that God, or whatever you would like to call the divine energy, is love. Every single one. So why are we fighting? Stop being so darn human. We got to stop this stuff. It just makes no sense. But again, you know, here it is, 2024. A lot of lessons are being repeated.
That's true. But do you feel it, Jane? Do you feel the great transformation we're having here on the planet?
Yes, I do. Not only feel it, but I know that I am part of a movement. And that was a big thing for me, because going from being this rock and roll girl and playing Bob Seger and whatever, and I still do that part. I actually have another life that I still am on the radio, but I do it from here. I stream on an app. Going from that and then coming out of that spiritual closet, so to speak, and then saying, I talk to dead people.
Yeah.
It was a big pivot. And I was really at first like, oh, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? La, 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 la. And then finally, my mom's like, why do you care at all? Just do you. Keep doing you. And once I like took that heaviness, that cloak off and threw it on the ground and just said, I'm just going to hang it out there for all to see, it has been the most freeing and abundantly rich exploration and detour in my life that I could possibly imagine. I mean, my kids are always like, oh, there goes mom again. Because when we sit down to dinner, that table is packed. You know, our ancestors from eons ago are sitting down to break bread with us. So yes, I feel the shift. And it's podcasts like this that are letting the light in. You know, it used to be just a little teeny crack of light, and now it's become a canyon. It's the Grand Canyon of light now, which is happening. And I see it and feel it and connect with it. I mean, every day I wake up and there's another email from someone extraordinary that wants to either interview me or would like to come on my show or wants to talk to me. It's like, let's go, people. We're finding our light tribe.
Yes. It's incredible. And the technology, right? I mean, throughout your career, you've seen a total shift in technology and how we can communicate and get the word out and just connect with people, hear their stories and share. And
right.
I don't like really necessarily the term grassroots, but I think you said movement, right? And that is, isn't it? I look at it more like an upswell, you know, like in the ocean, just a rising of the tide, a rising of the frequency. And there's no leader. It's just, we're all waking up. We're all opening up to new ideas, new perspectives, just being more open. And I think it's beautiful. And I'm so thrilled that I got to talk to you today. And I'm kind of bummed because we're about out of time. So please, please, if our audience wants to reach out to you, wants to learn more, because you still have so much going on. You also mentioned the music that you're continuing to share. How can they best connect with you? What advice do you give them for that?
You know what? I'm pretty much everywhere, but they can find my website. It's Jane Asher Rainey, mymarriednamecom. Or just, you know, you can email me, thenextroomwithjane@gmail.com. Super easy. I answer all my emails. Facebook, we have a really beautiful, active community there. It's all organic. I don't buy advertising. This tribe of beautiful people have come together and they like the messages my mother is sharing, and I share them on the page, and I share other wisdom from places in my heart and my podcast. My book is available. I mean, if you just Google Jane Asher San Diego or Jane Asher Rainey, you'll find me. And I'm open, you know, if somebody's listening and they think, oh my gosh, I would love to be on that show. I wrote a book or I have this, or I connected with my dad and I have a great story. Let me know about it. I love that. And like I said, I'd love to have you on my show. It would be really a pleasure for me to interview you next time.
Well, I'd be honored. Absolutely honored, Jane. Thank you so much. And we'll put links for you too, also in the show notes and on the video on YouTube. Make it easier.
And you know, if anyone would like a free digital copy of The Next Room, my book, I'd be honored. Just email me at thenextroomwithjane@gmail.com and just say, hey, just put your name, Andrea, in the show notes or this podcast or whatever and say, I'd like a book. And I'll just, no strings attached. I'm not going to spam you. I'm not going to put you on my mailing list. Just I'll send you a digital copy. It's got all the artwork in it, everything, and you can just have it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. And if you do, great. If you like it and you want to send it on to a friend, that's fine too. It's meant to be shared.
Oh, how generous of you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
No worries.
That's amazing. So a final thank you, huge hug, if that's okay to you. It's just been awesome. I just don't have a word to really describe it, Jane. I really, really don't. But wow, I'm so glad that I happened upon you at 3 a.m. one day, you know, everything happens for a reason.
There are no coincidences. We were meant to connect. We're meant to be really good friends now and continue the story.
Yeah. Thank you for being a part of it, Jane. And from myself and the team here at Beyond the Reiki Gateway, we'd like to say thank you to our listeners for all of your support, including leaving great reviews, becoming BTRG insiders, and sharing the show with your friends and family. Drop us a line at info@beyondthereikigateway.com anytime. Tell us what's on your mind and take great care. Until next time. Thank you for listening. And you can check the show notes or visit the website beyondthereikigateway.com to find out more about the podcast and connect with me. Please keep in mind that views and opinions expressed in the show don't necessarily reflect those of the podcast or anyone affiliated with its production or advertising. This program is presented for your entertainment only, and all information provided is to be utilized at the listener's own discretion. I, along with the BTRG team, hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it for you. Wishing you highest blessings until we meet again beyond the Reiki Gateway.